Hello everyone, welcome back to Holding Fast to Faith. I am your host, Brett Hill, and today we've got a great message coming out of the book of Galatians, chapter 6. So if you don't have your Bible, pause the podcast, run back and get it. Come back and join us. The message is you are one season of seed time and harvest away from change. And I just want to thank God for that today, because I know that whatsoever things I sow, that shall I also reap. And we're going to talk about that today in Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7 through 9, I'm in the King James Version today. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh, of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit, of the Spirit he'll reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Church, I want to tell you today that this is a very popular verse of scripture, and pretty much every person on the planet can probably quote it. I know a lot of people quote it for the wrong reasons. They quote it for the right reasons sometimes, but the big disconnect here from reality is the fact that it's the least understood scripture in the Bible. People really don't grasp what it means because they don't read the rest of the book and find out what the Word of God is saying to them in its entirety. But they pick up puzzle pieces in the Bible and they'll just run with one puzzle piece, not having the whole thing. But I want to talk to you today about some of these puzzle pieces to help you put together this scripture and the pieces of this scripture so you can understand it better. Because in the book of Genesis, Adam and Eve, along with all mankind, were kicked out of fellowship with God as a result of sin. In the book of Exodus, a whole generation of a nation, they died in the wilderness. They just passed away in the wilderness. The entire generation that was turned away when they got to the Jordan River, they went back, spent 40 years in the wilderness. They died in the wilderness as a result of their unbelief. In the book of Leviticus, Aaron's sons were consumed by God's fire for their disobedience and their sacrifices that they were making to the Lord. In the book of Numbers, listen, the fire of the Lord consumed the outer parts of the camp, the outskirts of the camp, because of complaining about their hardships all the time. So, in Deuteronomy, listen, church, God laid out the guidelines for his moral standards on what he expected from us and how he expected us to live and what he expected our lives to look like. And he also gave a list of the curses that would occur in our lives for not following these guidelines. But he also gave the blessings, a whole list of blessings that would occur in our lives for following these moral standards and obeying his guidelines. He even spoke in the book of Galatians. He said, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you to beyond your reach." So he's saying, what I'm telling you to do, what I'm asking you to do, I don't like the statement people say we sin every day and we're just sinners and this and that, and as if we can't get above sin, as if we can't live beyond it. You may go a week or two or 3 weeks and may mess up, but you don't have to believe the fact that you're a sinner every single day of your life, that you just can't live a sin-free life. That's just not true. What he's saying to you right here, "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach." That's written in the Word of God. We know that it's not too difficult to live a sin-free life. It's not beyond our reach to live a sin-free life. He says, "See, I have set before you today life and prosperity in one hand, death and destruction in the other hand." He says, if you'll live in these commandments, you will live and increase. But if your heart turns from them, then you will certainly be destroyed. So he's saying right here, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Church, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's never going to change. He is a sovereign God. And the things that he says in his words, you can take it to the bank. He's not meaning anything different but what he says to us, and we should be thankful for that. We should be thankful that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, over the last few weeks, I've had a lot of people approaching me about the war in Israel and the war in the Ukraine and all these other things, talking about stuff and why would God let this type of stuff happen. I've had people talk to me about, oh, my family has caused this and my family's done that, and I've got so much turmoil and strife in my life because of my family. And if God was real, He wouldn't allow these things to go on. Why would God allow this stuff to happen? Why do I have to suffer because of my family's mistakes? Listen, church, God is a sovereign God, and His word is a universal law. That's not going to change, and it's a wonderful thing that He is a sovereign God. It's a wonderful thing that His word is a universal law. One person might say to us, I live in poverty because my dad is an alcoholic. Every time he gets his paycheck, he spends all of his money that he should be spending on his family to keep the electric bill on, to keep the lights burning in the house, to keep food on the table, but he drinks it all up. So we live in poverty. Another person says, I don't believe there's a God because my parents don't believe that there's a God either. Somebody else might say, if God was real, innocent people wouldn't suffer at the hand of evil people. Now, listen, although all these people and their beliefs might lay out a reasonable argument for these statements to be true, God's word is still true. God's word is still dependable, and God's word is still reliable in all these scenarios. So I want to look over one of them here just for a second so that we can understand this. Somebody says, I don't believe there's a God because my parents don't believe there's a God. Listen, with this statement, are you totally enslaved by what your parents believe or disbelieve? Are your lives restricted to only the accomplishments of what your parents would approve of you or not approve of you to reach because that's what they want you to do and not what maybe God has a plan for you or God has a purpose for you or maybe you even have a dream? Do you set your own dreams and goals? Do you let somebody else do that? I mean, I understand as parents, I'm a parent of five myself, and I understand that at places in their lives when they're young, we have to teach them to love God. We have to teach them to serve God. We got to teach them to have respect and honor and things for God's house and to respect other people and treat people the way they want to be treated. We teach them to work hard and do the things they're supposed to do to take care of their families. And we teach them to be dependable and trustworthy. We teach them all these things. These are stuff that we need to be doing as parents. But I'm talking about when you grow older, when you get to a place to where your life starts becoming your life and God starts molding your life based on what He needs you to be doing, and maybe you start picking out your own career or you start getting married or maybe you find a house in another city. Your parents don't get to tell you the things that you do. Your parents don't get to tell you where you get to live and where you don't get to live and all these other things. But sometimes we look at these things here about my parents don't believe in God, but so I don't believe in God. Why, I'm totally in captivity of poverty because my dad's an alcoholic. You see the difference of where I'm going here? You see the difference? People will settle for the worst stuff in their life and they'll blame God for some things in their life because their parents was doing it and they don't seem to think that they could get away from it because their parents set the precedence for that. But I'm telling you today, you can change the things in your own life based on what you believe and the things that you pursue. I remember at 10 years old, I made up my mind that I would be a successful singer and a successful songwriter. And I loved writing. I'd write poetry. I'd write songs. I'd write all kinds of things. And my dad did everything that he could to discourage this dream because he would say, you need a real education. You need a real future. You need a life that would be dependable for your family so that you could be trustworthy and take care. And all that's true. I don't disrespect that at all. But telling me that I can't be a successful songwriter because I have to have an education and I have to have a real future, it doesn't mean I can't do both. But what he would do is he constantly told me that I couldn't do this and tried to discourage me to stop trying to do it and point me toward college and point me toward other things. And that's all fine and dandy to point toward college. I did. I got 3 college degrees and I got all kinds of education and certifications and all kinds of things and had a really good long career in technology. But besides that, I still wanted to pursue my dream to be a songwriter. songwriter and be successful at that in Christian music. And so, listen, it was disturbing to me, but I had to be the one to decide what I believed. I had to be the one to decide what my future was like. It was my choice. I couldn't allow my dad's disbelief to restrict my own future, and you can't do that either. And listen, because of having to swim upstream and paddle upstream all the time, it was 25 years later, at the age of 35, I had not one, not two, but three national number one radio hit singles and 12 top tens. Why? Because I chose not to buy into someone else's doubt and disbelief in what I chose to do. It may have took 25 years paddling upstream, but I never gave up on my own dreams and my own desire. Church, your life is your life today. I want to tell you today, nobody else can decide your life for you. It is your life and you have to live it. And even God lays out His plans for you, but you have to decide that God's goodness is what you want in your life. Nobody else can decide that for you. Matter of fact, nobody else can get you saved. That has to be your choice to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Mom and Dad can't teach, or Mom and Dad can teach it to you. The preacher can preach it to you. You can listen to this podcast over and over and over, but at the end of the day, the choice is yours, and thank God for that too, because nobody can send you to hell except for you. Going to hell is your choice, nobody else's. Being in poverty is something that you have to choose that you want to be away from, and I'm talking about a poverty mindset right now. Poverty is not just money and health and finances. Poverty is a mindset more than it is anything else, and you can change to have the riches of God's glory in your mind and understand His desires for you and take in the Word of God and live that and trust that and serve. Sow that seed into your life, and the choice for eternal life is in your hands, not anybody else's. And listen, we've talked about spiritual agricultural science on my podcast before. I preach this quite a bit at my church because I want people to always understand the way that the kingdom of God works. And so if you plant corn, you expect to get corn to come up out of the ground. If you plant cotton, you don't go out and expect to pick polyester, but just because somebody else is always having a lower expectation of you and your desires and your goals for your life. So if you plant cotton, you expect to get cotton. Don't expect to receive less in your life because somebody else is always telling you that you're going to get less. I'm going to shoot for cotton, but I know I'm going to get polyester because I'm just not that great of a person. These other people told me so. So I can't plant something and expect to get it. Listen, change the way you think. Stop letting people dictate to you what your life is going to be. It's your action. It's not your family's. It's your action, your choices that dictate your future. If you don't like what's coming into your life, if you don't enjoy the harvest that's coming in from your family, do your own planting. Do your own sowing. Till your own ground and stop leasing out your heart to folks who plant evil. Get your own tractor and stop leasing out your heart's real estate. You want to have good in your life. You want to have prosperity in your life. You want to have God's favor in your life. Then don't complain like Israel did in the book of Numbers. You yourself can change the outcome. You're one season of seed time and harvest away from that change. And listen, I want to tell you today, we're talking about some spiritual agricultural science. Your tractor is your self-will. You can take your own self-will, yourself. What is it that I want to see? What is it that God's putting on my heart? What is it that I believe that I want in my life besides what mom and daddy or what my neighbor or what my sister or what somebody else is telling me that I have to live because granddaddy done it that way, great granddaddy done it that way, so you're going to be that way? No, nonsense. That's just ridiculous because you can sow your own life the way that you need your life to be, and your tractor to till your ground up to get it ready for God's word is your self-will to do so. If you open that Word of God and you desire to read it and plant it into your life, then that's up to you and not up to anybody else. And your good seed that you go pick up and plant is the Word of God. And you can take the Word of God and put in that tilled up ground, that desiring heart of yours, and plant the seed of God in your life. And the fertilizer that you use to grow that and to cause it to nurture and grow is your faith. What do you believe? When you listen to somebody else talk negativity, when you listen to gossip or naysayers, or you listen to all the trash talk or somebody just wanting to put you down all the time, what is it that you believe? It ain't their faith that gets you into heaven. It ain't their doubt that causes you to have failure. It's whatever you believe. Your faith in your life. It's your faith in God's word. It's your faith in what you can become is what fertilizes the seed that you plant for your future. And I want to tell you, your rain that waters your seed, that's the good seed of the Word of God, the rain is your prayer life. And listen, I want to tell you something today. If you don't have to pray for famine. You don't have to pray for a dry season. You don't have to pray for your crops to dry up and fall and just fall over and not bring in a harvest. You don't need to pray for that. That'll come on its own. You want to have total destruction? Keep off your knees. Stay away from the prayer room and don't be talking to God. You don't have to pray for destruction. But if you want some good harvest to come in, the rain that comes down and waters the crop and waters the seed and causes the germination of the seed and brings in the harvest, is your prayer life. You need to be praying and talking to God all the time. And I don't mean praying and asking Him for ridiculous stuff. I'm telling, when you till the ground with your self-will, when you sow the Word of God, you pray God's Word over your life. You pray the Word of God over your life. You see the Scriptures and the promises that He has for you, where God says in Jeremiah, He says, I know the plans that I have for you, and they're plans to do you some good and not harm. Pray that over yourself. God, I see Your Word. I believe Your Word. I trust in Your Word. I'm sowing that seed in my life, and I'm going to pray that. Don't be praying something other than the Word of God. You ain't going to get what you're praying for. Just pray what God has a plan for you. Pray the things that you know will come up. And listen, your harvest is guaranteed by a scripture that you already quote. Be ye not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Don't quote it like it's a bad thing, church. Rejoice that that scripture is there. Rejoice that whatever you put in the ground is going to come up and bring a harvest. Rejoice that whatever you plant in this lifetime is going to come up and bring yourself a harvest. So whatever you sow, if you're sowing the Word of God, if you're sowing the promises of God into your life, you know that you're going to reap whatever God says you're going to get. Amen. Somebody needs to be tilling some ground today. Somebody needs to sow something different than what you are seeing in your life if you want something different to come up. Somebody needs to plant the Word of God in their life today. Somebody listening to me needs to have some faith in the seed that they're getting. Somebody needs to pray for a harvest in their life and be expecting to break out your combine of praise and thanksgiving so that you can receive the blessings that you've been planting. And the Scripture says that He's going to pour out a harvest on you that you're going to have some help bringing in, that you can't even contain your own harvest. You'll have to get people to help you receive the blessings of God. Praise God, I've got some hope today because God said I will reap what I sow. God, I've got some hope today because His Word is true. He's faithful. Even when I'm not, He holds on to His Word and He sticks with His Word. He put it in writing so that whatever is said in His Word, He will never back down with it. He says heaven and earth will pass away, but My Word will never pass away. Church, you can bank on what He says, and if you sow the Word of God in your life, that's what you're going to get back. And the great thing about that is that there's not a place in there that anywhere in the Bible that says you'll receive one for one. The worst that you're going to do when you sow the Word of God is 30-fold. And I'm not talking 30% either. I'm talking 30-fold. And He says on a good day that you can get 30, 60, or 100-fold on His Word. So you're not going to get one for one out of this. When you sow Jesus Christ into your life, when you sow the Word of God, when you sow the promises of the Father into your life, you're going to get multiple over multiple over multiple of blessings out of what you sow into your life, because the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You've got a chance at a better life because God said you will reap what you sow. You get to decide what your future looks like. Whoo! Come on, church. It don't get any better than that. I want to tell you today, the Almighty God of the universe stands behind His Word. You want a better life? Find a better source of seed to be planting. Get your seed somewhere where it's guaranteed. Change the crop you've been dealing with in the past, church. God's seed is guaranteed to grow and produce everything that it says it will produce and not come back void. And I'll take those consequences any day of the week. Do you hear me? I said I'll take those consequences any day of the week. God's seed is guaranteed. If I plant it, He'll come in behind me and He will water it and He will make it grow. And He will cause me to get that harvest. Church, somebody needs to think back today. Somebody needs to be thinking. And I don't care how far back it is. Just think back to when you need to figure out where you were and what you were doing. The seeds in life, the mistakes and the bad choices that you were making. The seeds that you were planting when things started turning bad for you. Now, right there, right now, that thought that you found and where you found the timeline, you know what caused the harvest that you are getting in your life. Turn it around today. Take control of that stuff today. James said, does a fountain produce both sweet and bitter waters? No, sir, it don't. Can the fig tree bear olives? No, sir, it won't. Can you fix the outcome of your own situation? Absolutely. Praise God. That answer is a resounding yes. You can change what you are planting in your life. So stop shopping for seed at the local mom and pop gossip shop. Stop planting seed that you picked up from mom and dad and sow your own expectations. You want joy in your life? Stop planting bitterness and despair. You want to thrive in the life that Christ has provided? Open a fresh bag of good news of Jesus Christ today and begin planting that seed that He has provided for you, and you're one season away. One season of seed time and harvest away from changing your life and changing the outcome of what you have been living so far. So I thank God that I reap what I sow. You should thank God that you reap what you sow. Listen, church, God has placed the choice in my hands. He has placed the choice in your hands today. Freedom from the circumstances, one season of seed time and harvest away. You want to change who you are. You want to change the outcome of your life. You want to change the circumstances that you're living in. Start sowing the word of God in your life and give the seed time and harvest time to take its course and change the crop that's coming into your life. That is God's promise over you. He's promised you that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. That's good news for you today. What do you want your future to look like? I want to pray with you today. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you, God, for your word. I thank you for your promises. I thank you, God, that everything that you say in your word is absolutely true and we can stand on it when we can't believe anything else. God, I pray that all the listeners that are listening to this podcast today, God, that they would hear your word and understand that they have the power to change their life with the use of your word and your promises and you standing behind what you say. God, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that this breaks through the stony hearts, God, that it would plant the seed in the fleshly heart, God, that it would grow and produce the crop that it needs to produce, God, that people would begin to believe in you and change their circumstances in their lives by believing that your word will change it, believing that you have given them the power and the authority to change what their circumstances are, God, no matter what it is, no matter what they're facing, no matter what they're going through, God, your word is true, it's trustworthy, and it's just, and it's holy, and it will lead and guide us into your prosperity and leading out us into your favor. And God, it's not always money. It's not always the financial favor, God, but I know one thing for certain, that I have treasures laid up in heaven, God, that you've guaranteed me to have when I hold fast to my faith in you without wavering. God, I pray, Lord, that you sow that seed in the listeners today, Father, that you would cause them to believe your word, cause them to trust in what you say, and God, to turn and change what they're sowing in their life, so that their lives can change for the better and glorify your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and ask these things. Amen and amen. Thank you for tuning in today. God bless you. I pray that this has touched your life. And if it has, Email us at holdingfasttofaith@outlook.com. Let us know that God is changing your life. Let us know that this podcast is making a difference. It's always going to be totally free to everybody. You'll never have to pay for it. I believe that the gospel is supposed to be free to you. He says, freely you have received, freely you need to give. And that's what we're doing for you today. This is for you. This is for God's people. This is for the folks that are looking for hope in Jesus Christ. And I pray this has helped you out today. Share this podcast with somebody else. Let their lives be changed as well, just like yours was changed today. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next one.